Okay, it's all or nothing. Donuts are on the line, and Johnny's tears are on the line. He's gonna cry. He said it. Okay, we're gonna start a countdown if you don't do it soon. That was relatively close, actually. I thought it was gonna bounce off the soundboard and go in. Okay, everybody, get a seat. And grab a Bible if you need a Bible. Get a Bible if you need a Bible. And turn to 1 John. And does anybody want to read a passage like later on in the teaching? Does anybody volunteer to read something else? Okay, fine, I'll read it myself. Thanks, guys, for volunteering to read. No one did. It was a joke. Are you guys all at 1 John already? You have it marked. Wow. 1 John 5. Y'all got it? Where's your Bible? Where's your Bible? Oh, you got it on your lap. Okay. Hey, does everybody have their Bibles? Huh? I know. I thought he didn't have his Bible. Okay, let's all stand, and we're going to read verse 7. It's a quick one, so.
Verse 7.
Okay. So, 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, Lord, and that you are incredible, and we can't completely grasp who you are and exactly what you are and how powerful you are, how well you know us, how strongly you love us, but we want to know it more. We want to know you more, so fill me with your Spirit and speak to us through your word. Let each and every one of us grow in you today, and we pray that we would learn more about you this morning, and we pray all this in your name. All God's people said, have a seat. And also, right now, turn to Luke chapter 3. We're gonna look at that in a little bit. So turn there and mark it with your finger. Like make a finger marker. You know, where you just stick your finger in and it like marks it, you know? So Luke chapter 3, verse 21, right around there. We're gonna be there a little later.
Chapter 3.
Come on, get your head in the game. So, there's a popular thing on like the social media right now. It's called shower thoughts. Have you guys ever heard of shower thoughts?
No.
So, shower thoughts. You've 321. So, yeah, okay. So, a shower thought is an idea, thought, or concept that first comes to you when you are taking your morning shower or doing some other part of your morning routine. So it's, you know, when you're in the shower and your mind just goes to like these weird thoughts, and like you're just thinking, you're cleaning your body, but you're also like solving like world peace at the same time. You know, like this is a shower thought. What's your question?
Want to know what my shower thought?
Yeah, I don't know. Do I? Everything in the world is either a potato or not a potato. That is a good shower thought.
That's so true.
It's so true, though. Oh, my goodness. I could think for days about that. Okay. So I searched on Google shower thoughts because they're like really popular right now and they crack me up. So I found some and I'm going to share them with you because they're really funny. So you'll see it. It all ties in the end. So, one shower thought is, what if every country has ninjas, but we only know about the Japanese ninjas because they're the worst ninjas? Okay. If people on opposite sides of the earth drop a piece of bread at the same time, the earth briefly becomes a sandwich. How do you take a picture of that?
Word for
collage. The earth in a sandwich. Okay, here's another one. What if all the ancient Greek sculptures are actually victims of Medusa? You never know. Okay, this is a good one. A poodle is literally a wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay, wait, I have more. Okay. A kangaroo is basically a T-Rex deer.
What are you drinking?
It's true, right?
No.
So, I say all this because today our passage looks at the Trinity. And the Trinity is basically the ultimate Christian shower thought. It's something that blows Christian scholars and Christian, just normal Christians that aren't Christian scholars, blows their mind. And they can't quite grasp it because it's so deep, so powerful, and so mighty. And that's the Trinity. So that's what we're going to look at today. And it's a super deep Christian shower thought. Now, are you guys at Luke 3? Y'all there? Okay, Luke 3, verse 21 through 22. That says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So here we see, all at the same time, all separate, but also kind of all together, we see the Holy Spirit descending upon the Son, Jesus, and then we hear the Father saying, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So these are the three distinct persons that make up the Trinity. But what exactly is the Trinity? Like, it's such a deep, complex Christian term that always gets thrown around so easily. Like, you know, we're going to look at the Trinity, or today it's awesome because the Trinity has saved us, or you know, that's because of the Trinity. And often when people say it, they're not really able to grasp all that is found and bound up within the word, the Trinity. You know, we sing about it in the old hymn, Holy, 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 God in three persons, blessed Trinity, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three and one. It's such a common Christian phrase, but it's such this abstract concept that can be difficult to grasp. So today we're going to look in depth at the Trinity. It's super different, super crazy, complex, unlike anything we've ever heard of, ever seen, ever will see, besides God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a deep look at it, but we're going to do it briefly, and we're going to do it simply so that you can, from this point, develop your own questions, your own shower thoughts about the Trinity, and go deeper into your understanding of the Trinity. So we have three main points that we're going to look at. The first point, one God. Second, three persons. And then the third point, the Trinity. So that's first, one God, three persons, the Trinity. So, one God. The first thing that we need to understand before we even start to kind of grasp the Trinity is one God. That there's only one God. The creator of the universe is one being and one specific thing. So, we see it all throughout Scripture. 2 Samuel 7:22 says, therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you. Psalms 86 says, for you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. In Isaiah 44:6, God says, I am the first, I am the last, besides me there is no God. Mark 12:29, Jesus quoting the Old Testament says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. As Christians, we are monotheists. So we believe that there's only one God, and he is the only God that has ever been, and he's the only God that ever will be. He's the creator of the universe. He's lived forever and will continue to live forever. He knows everything. He can be anywhere and everywhere all at one time, but he's still just one God. It's crazy. He's so powerful, so knowing, so meticulous. He's involved with everything, but he's just one being. And if you guys have any questions throughout this teaching, feel free to raise your hands, and I may not have an answer, but I'll try to answer it if I can't answer it, but I may not be able to. So, just one God. We don't believe that there's multiple gods, that God like kind of taps somebody else in and like Jesus takes over because God's been worn out, or that the Holy Spirit has his own thing going on and he's separate from God. There's just one God. So that brings us to our second point, three persons. So Luke 22, we see Jesus is baptized, so we see the Son in Jesus. But then we also see descending like a dove. And in actual form, we see the Holy Spirit and we see the Father. So there's the three persons. They're very distinct, very different. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one is distinct and each one has its own specific roles or duties, if you will. The first, the Father. He's kind of like an organizer or a planner. He's the creator. He's the one who kind of put this all in motion. It was his plan to create man and then redeem man and then have man serve him, save him, love him, hopefully. But there's also the choice that man has to not love God, to not serve him. So this is the Father who put all this in place. He's also responsible for sending the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we have the Son. He's like a mediator. What that means is he's kind of like the middleman. So we have us over here, and Jesus is the one making a way for us to the Father. He's the one, he's like a lawyer speaking to God on our behalf, because we are guilty of sin. Sin has marked us, but Jesus is covering our sin. He's speaking to the Father on our behalf and allowing us to appear as righteous and holy before the Father, which is the only way that we can. So we have the Father, he's the organizer, the Son, the mediator, kind of the middleman. He's allowing us to get to the Father. He, through the cross, he made a bridge between a gap for us to get to the Father. And then we have the Helper. The Helper is kind of like, have you guys ever played Zelda? You know, the old Nintendo game? Okay, well, Zelda, Link, he saves Zelda, his little princess queen, and he has this little fairy sidekick that goes along with him, and all throughout it, she's like, hey, listen, and like, she's the one who kind of tells us what's going on, shows us what to do, or she's like, hey, don't go that way because there's zombies or something, I don't know, or hey, you need to go kill the zombies because they're gonna get Zelda, and so he's always with us and he's always guiding us, but sometimes we don't exactly see him because he's behind us or whatever else. So that's what the Holy Spirit's like. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit, he's here with us every day. He's guiding us. He's showing us what to do, what not to do. He's showing us how to be more like the Father, how to be more righteous. He's sanctifying us, separating us from this world, from this darkness. And he's the one bringing us into the light. He gives us the fruits of the Spirit. He's the one who, like, when we don't know exactly what to pray, he shows us the words to pray. He shows us how to pray. And he makes us more like Jesus every single day. So, we have the Holy Spirit. He's here transforming us, working on us, working in every single person. Even if they're not yet saved, he's the one who's working on showing them that they need God, that they have a need to be saved, and there's something more in this world. He's the one who creates that kind of like God-shaped hole that we always talk about within people. And then we have Jesus, who's right here. So we're here. Jesus is right here. He's making a way. Without Jesus, we could never get to the Father, who's right here, sitting on his throne. He's the planner, the organizer, the creator, the developer, if you will. So all three of them are doing very separate things, very different things, very distinct. They're all working together for one big picture, but it's all very different at the same time. So that brings us to our third point, and this is the humdinger, the big point. We see the Trinity. So I'm going to give you guys a definition of the Trinity. It's a really broad, or not a broad definition, but it's a very wordy definition, very specific, and then we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you guys some illustrations. You guys can also try to think of some illustrations if you want, or tell me about illustrations you've heard. We're going to like just kind of try to get to know the Trinity more, get to discover it, make it a little more tangible to our human minds. So by definition, the Trinity, there is one eternal God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the only God that exists. However, within the nature of this one God, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three persons are co-equal, co-eternal. They are also distinguishable and distinct from one another. These three distinct persons are the one God. Everything that is true about God is true about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hashtag shower thought, right? Okay. So let's look at what's going on in this definition. So, three separate persons. We've looked at them. We have the Holy Spirit working in us. Jesus, right here, making a way. And God, the Father, the planner, the organizer, who wants to be in relationship but needs the Son and the Holy Spirit to do all of that. But these three people, these three separate distinct beings, are one God. So they're not one of each other. They're not one Spirit. They're not one Son. They're not one Father. They're one God. And they're not separate. They're not their own organism. They're not like separate hands to one specific thing. They are one God, but three persons within one God. It's kind of like, I don't know, almost like a heavenly dance, if you will. They're all together, all one, all moving in the same direction, doing one thing. They're in relationship with one another, because before God even created, He loved. So God loved within the Trinity. So the Father loves the Son, the Holy Spirit loves the Father, the Son loves the Holy Spirit. They're loving, they're communicating, they're working together, but they're one. Separate things, separate persons, distinct roles, one God. And each one of them are God. So the Son is God. The Holy Spirit, He is God. The Father is God. But they're all one God. We're not like tritheists, so that means we're not three gods. We don't believe that there's three separate gods. We don't believe that the Son is a separate God and that the Holy Spirit is a separate God and that the Father is Himself a separate God. We believe that all these three separate beings are one specific God. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. And it shouldn't make sense to us because we have nothing to relate it to on this whole entire world, this whole universe, as far as we've discovered. There's no physical, natural thing in this world that even comes close to relating to the Trinity. Bible scholars have spent like centuries looking for things to illustrate the Trinity, to connect the Trinity to our minds, but they always like pathetically fall short. It's really bad. And we've all heard like many different illustrations for the Trinity to kind of help us get that, but they always fall short. So I'm going to go over some illustrations with you guys, some common ones, but also some uncommon ones. And I'm going to show you how they're good, but then also how they're bad, so that you can start to get to know the Trinity more, understand this is why it's more like the Trinity, this is why it's not like the Trinity. So we're going to do that. Does that make sense? We're going to see what's good and what's bad about illustrations. So first one, the three-leaf clover. St. Patrick, this is what he's famous for. This is why we have three-leaf clovers in St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick, someone asked him about the Trinity, and he picked up a three-leaf clover. I don't know how he did that, like on the spot, because they're so rare, right? Like, it's lucky to find a three-leaf clover, but he just... The four-leaf is the lucky one?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. Never mind. You just got me. Okay, so he picked up a three-leaf clover. I thought the three leaves were lucky, but maybe I just thought I was super lucky every time I picked one. No, I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe. So the reason this is good is because we have three leaves that make one clover. So three different things that make one specific thing. But here's why these are bad. The three-leaf clover is bad because the leaves are identical. They look the same, they do the same thing, they act the same, and they don't love each other. We don't see the leaves like in relation with one another. We don't see them talking with one another, having conversation with one another. So it's good, but the Trinity, each separate part is not identical. And they don't do the same thing. They do different things. But they do make one clover, if you will, or one Trinity, one God. Another popular example is the eggshell. So you have the shell, you have the white, and you have the yolk. Now, this is a pretty good example because the eggshell, it does its own thing. It's calcium that like holds it together. It keeps the shell locked in, or it keeps the egg locked in. And then we have the white, it's protein, and then the yolk, it's just like fat, right? Something like that. So this is a pretty good example because they all are distinct and they all play their own role. Like if we decided just to eat egg whites, we'd get more protein. If we decided just to eat yolks, we'd get fat. If we decided just to eat the shell, it would be gross. Here's why it's bad though. Each part is not fully an egg. So the shell is not an egg. We don't look at the shell and say, you are one egg. That would be weird if we're like, this is one egg. And we don't look at the egg white and say, this on itself is just one egg. We don't look at the yolk and say, this is one egg. We're not like, you are fully egg and fully yolk. No. But like we do with Jesus, fully God and fully man. So it's a good example in that they're all different, all do their own thing, but they're not all an egg separate from each other. So another good example. This one's pretty cool. Full name. So most of you guys have three names, right? You have your first, middle, and last. Some of you probably have like six middle names. You don't count with this example, so just forget about it. I'm just kidding. But so my first and middle and last name is Isaac Timogen. It's a really weird middle name. Don't worry about it. I know, it's weird. And Henderson. So Isaac Timogen Henderson. Why this is good is because Timogen and Henderson and Isaac are all me. Like, you could call me Timogen if you wanted, but it'd be weird. I'd probably get upset at you because I don't like it. You could call me Mr. Henderson, and I'd be like, that is my father, but whatever. You could call me Isaac, and I would respond to that. So each of these names, they are different, but they're all me. But the bad thing about the full name thing is each name isn't a different person. So when you call me Henderson, I'm not going to be like, oh yes, that is me, Mr. Henderson. Yes, I'm so professional and I also have a beard and I'm old. And then when you like talk to Isaac, I'm like, hey guys, what's up, dudes? Yeah, I'm cool. And then when you talk to Timogen, he's like in between like, hey, how's it going? Y'all having a good day? So no, it's not each middle name or each name is not a different person. It doesn't bring out a different side of me or a different aspect of me. So that's where it's bad. Another example is fire. So do you guys know the three things that make up fire?
Wood.
Oxygen, fuel, yeah, wood, and heat. Yeah, smoke, heat. So all these three, they're working together to make one thing. And that's what's really good about it, is they're all working together to make the one fire, to make the fuego. But what's bad about it? Yeah, the hot fuego. What's bad about it, though, is they don't accomplish things on their own. So, like, a log really is not good for anything unless it's on fire or building something. But that doesn't work for the example. And a oxygen, like, we don't like capture oxygen and do stuff with it on our daily day-to-day lives. We breathe it, but it's different. Like it's not like helping us on our own. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have its own mind, and it's not having its own specific goal. And heat on its own, heat is actually pretty nice, but they don't each have their own minds and their own goal separate from the fire. They need the fire to make damage and to make a goal and make heat and make fuego. So that's fire. It's pretty cool, but it's not a good example for the Trinity. And then here's a really good one. The universe. This one's pretty cool. So the universe is huge. It's vast, but it's made up of three things. Space, time, and matter. So there's space, there's, you know, like the space that's not filled with matter. And then we have matter, so that's everything that's not space. And then we have time, so that's the time that is within the matter and everything, that the time is just going, doing its own thing. What's cool about this is they make one. Universe means one, like uni-verse. It's one thing, like unicycle. You're just riding one wheel. So the universe is just one distinct thing, and each thing has its own specific purpose and its own use and its own goal. But it's bad because these things aren't in relation with one another. So we don't see matter communicating with time and matter able to love time, and we don't refer to matter as the universe, and we don't see them like communicating and like bouncing ideas off each other. They're not like, hey, let's grow this universe in the image of ourselves. No, but God did that. When God was creating, he said, let's make man in our own image. So technically, he's just one God, but he's having a conversation within the Trinity. He's saying, hey guys, I don't know how they talk to each other. I don't know what it would be like. But he's like, hey guys, let's make man in our own image. So this one thing is saying, let's do it in our own image. Whoa. Oh, it's crazy. So as we come to a close, you should be confused. So the Trinity, you're telling me it's one God, three separate things. They do their own thing, but they're one thing. Each one of these things on their own is God, but together they are all God, and they are holy, they're righteous, they create, they have minds of their own within one another, but they're all of one mind because they're just one God. It's crazy. What's another aspect about them? They're talking to one another, they're speaking to one another, and God isn't multi-personalities. It's not like I have a crazy aunt who literally has like multiple personalities, and it's like, are we getting Wendy today, or are we getting whoever else is in there? She's crazy. I have a crazy aunt. It's weird. But God is not our crazy aunt. It's not like, hey God, am I getting the Holy Spirit today, or am I getting the Son? No, we can always have the Son and always the Spirit and always the Father. And it's like, whoa. And every time we pray to God, we're praying to all three. Every time we pray to the Spirit, we're praying to God. Every time we pray to the Son, we're praying to God, because they're all separate, but they're all one. And there's nothing like it. Nothing compares to the Trinity, because nothing communicates to itself that isn't crazy, and is one thing, but also three things, separate things, specific things. So you should be mind blown. Hashtag mind blown. Forget shower thoughts. We're mind blown. You should be shocked. You should be in awe, and you should be curious. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We will never know everything about God. And I'm sorry if you thought that at the end of this teaching I would be like, here is the perfect example of the Trinity, and now you will go forth and completely understand it, and there will be no questions. But That wasn't my goal. My goal is to just help you imagine the Trinity. This one God who has three persons doing specific things all at the same time is one thing, but they're all separate, all different. Oh, it's weird. It's crazy. And that's why we open with shower thoughts. Because this is something that should be in your mind all the time. You should be curious about this. You should have questions about this. If you have more questions, come ask me. I probably won't have the answer, but I'd actually be willing to like look it up and research about it. Because I think it's super interesting. I'm super curious about the Trinity. So, the Trinity, one God, three separate persons, the Father, the Organizer, the Son, the Mediator, the Spirit, our Helper, with us right now, all one God, the Trinity, the Triune God. Oh, it's crazy. So, yeah, that's it. If you guys have any questions after, come up. Yes, Johnny, is that a question? Yes, another shower thought. Give us another shower thought. When you're riding a unicycle, aren't you always doing a wheelie? No, I don't know, because I feel like a wheelie on a unicycle, you'd be like angled like this. How do you know? Are you a unicycle expert? Yeah. Okay, let me pray, and then they should be out in like 5 minutes. Okay, another... Wait, give it to us after I pray. And then, yeah, you can share your shower thoughts. If you have more shower thoughts, come up and talk to me about them, or just tell everybody about them like Johnny's about to do. Or if you have, like, illustrations about the Trinity that you think are super good, come talk to me about them, and I'll try to blow them out of the water. Just kidding, but I'm actually pretty serious. I will try to. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are mysterious, Lord, that you are a mysterious God. We thank you that we're not smart enough to grasp you, because if we were, then you wouldn't be that incredible. And we thank you that you are bigger than our minds, bigger than our mathematics, bigger than our science, bigger than everything we know in this world. And that's awesome, but we want to think about it some more, Lord. So as we go from here, help us to understand you more, understand the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and understand the one God altogether, Lord. Help us get to know you more and understand you more. We pray that you would be with us this week, be in all of our interactions and everything that our hands and our minds are involved with. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Johnny, give us the...